Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
It's, well, honestly, I have Virgo in like everything except for my sun and rising.
So what are your characteristics that you think are really like,
well, I'm completely psycho, incredibly mean to myself, incredibly hard on myself. Nothing's ever enough. Success is inevitable and yet impossible. So yeah, I guess that's kind of where it lives. Umbridge vibes.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. It's a big week here in podcast world because Seek Treatment's Catherine Cohen is our guest. I'm in such a good mood, my friends. I mean, not only is it getting warmer outside, Kat Cohen's on this week's episode, but also your boy got vaccinated. Legally as can be. I did storm multiple Walgreens until they handed over an extra dose, but I truly, as I saw many people around me get their vaccines and I'm still ineligible, I did as much research as possible and talked to many friends, and I was able to go to a Walgreens in Astoria. They had 5 extra doses. I was number 2. The 2 people behind me were very cute gay boys. We did flirt. It was just kind of a big moment all around. And then my dear Matthew Lummis, my husband, also is vaccinated. And I want to capture this moment in history just to kind of unpack it all, because Matt just got his second dose literally Monday of this week. And so I'm actually going to bring him on before we chat with Kat, because he hasn't really told many people about his vaccine story. And I just think it's kind of an interesting one that unpacks a lot in just a few minutes. So our first part of this episode is going to be chatting with Matt just about how he was able to get his vaccine. And then we're going to go into the episode with Kat herself, the legend. If you don't know Catherine Cohen, which I'm sure you do because you are a human being on this green earth, she is incredibly funny and so sweet. I've known her for many years. And so hearing our origin story of friendship is very funny. But if you don't know, she is the host of Seek Treatment, the incredible podcast with Pat Regan. She's also been seen on TV shows like, gosh, Search Party, High Maintenance, Broad City, the film The Lovebirds, yes, on the big screen. You can also catch her weekly performing at Club Coming and get her new poetry book. It's called God, I Feel Modern Tonight, Poems from a Gal About Town. My friends, this is Catherine Cohen. Follow her at Kat C. Cohen. Yes, that's right, Kat C. Cohen. But first, a little gab with me and Matt. Oh my gosh, Matt just walked in the door from getting his second vaccine shot, and this is a gay-ass podcast exclusive.
It's true.
How do you feel, Matt, after getting your second shot?
I feel relieved. I'm glad it's over with. I had to go way out in Queens, so, you know, that was the hardest part.
The hardest part was the getting there of it all. I'm sure physically the symptoms will come. From what I hear, the second shot, it becomes kind of dark. Are you nervous about that?
A little bit, because I like never get sick, I feel like, other than a little hangover situation. So I don't love having a fever and chills. So I'm just hoping that it is speedy.
I hope that too. Well, I'm here for you, babe. So listen, I think this whole vaccine time right now is so, it feels very Hunger Gamesy. First of all, just like everyone's clamoring. Some people are lying about the reasons for them getting it. Other people are just resigned to the fact that they will never get it until they're the last possible group. I was very, very
resourceful.
I mean, I was very much intent on getting it for, of course, a fair reason, but also getting it as soon as fucking possible, just because I want that peace of mind. And so I, of course, called a million pharmacies, and the fact that I was able to get there. So hot off the presses, Matt got a second shot. My first shot I got last week, and it was just,
such a lucky thing that I want to shout out the people at the Walgreens in Astoria, Queens. I truly, when I go for my second shot, I want to bring them a gift. They were so kind and just like patient, and they had so many things going on, and I got that first shot. However, I think a lot of people are dealing with this stigma of getting a shot and then people asking the reason how they could get it, what makes them eligible. So Matt, what do you feel about do people ask you how you were eligible to get your vaccine?
I haven't had anyone ask me, but I haven't really told that many people outside of my small friend group, because it is like a weird thing that people on the social media are going crazy about. So I didn't want to broach that topic quite yet.
Okay. So do you want to reveal on this podcast, like, what your feelings are around it?
I think if you're eligible, then you should get it. Like, I don't think, like, I definitely understand people who are being shady about it. And, you know, maybe lying is not a good idea. And I would never tell anyone if I did that. I understand people are self-conscious about whatever reason they are able to get it. And I think everyone should just do it when you can.
If you are eligible, I think there should be no shame around it, and whether it's whatever the reason is. So I don't want to be the one to say, I want it to be your story, Matt. So I'm trying to bait you into saying what makes you eligible and how you feel about it.
Oh, is that what's happening here?
Jesus H. I'm like trying to be an interviewer that's like, and how do you feel it? And what circumstances led you? And then you're just like, yeah, I think you should get it.
I'm just trying to Kellyanne Conway my way out of this one.
Yeah, I'm like, I want the listener to know that you voluntarily came on to this. And I said, would you like to share your story? And he said he would. And now here we are, the pedal to the metal. The recording is do, 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 do. And yet Matt is now all of a sudden like a vault. So God forbid we have a fucking poignant moment where you share how you feel, but now just like, can you just like rip the bandaid off?
Sure. I got my COVID vaccine because my BMI says that I am obese,
which is truly like an example of the backwards stupid BMI thing, period. And I think it's interesting for people to hear about that this is one of the qualifying factors, and how, first of all, that the BMI, it's like, what, 30? The BMI is 30. That means that you are obese and then that you are eligible to get the vaccine. And so, you know, what was your experience when you read this, and what was kind of the journey you went on to actually go get the vaccine? And I'll be willing to talk about it.
The journey, I saw that so many people we knew were getting the vaccine, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, or am I going to have to wait till forever? And then I was talking to a friend and she was telling me about all the different qualifications. And I was like, I haven't really looked into it that much. Like, let me see. And then I saw one of the qualifications was like the BMI. And I was like, well, every time I ever went to a doctor, they were always like, well, you don't look like you're blah, 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 but you are technically overweight. You know, I was always like the husky kid. Like, my pediatrician growing up would always be like, you're technically overweight, but it doesn't look that bad, as I'm like sitting there on the like paper with my like little belly hanging out, like, okay.
What a devastating image. I mean, I also just like, when you go shopping, there'd be husky jeans. Cause I was a husky jean wearer for a time as well. It's like I think they were trying to be like huskies, like a positive way of saying, but it's like, I think putting husky onto something is not helpful.
No, it's awful. So yeah, I saw that like qualified, and I was like, I know I've gained like weight on top of all of this in the past year, cause I'm just sitting on my ass all day. So I was like, let me just like calculate my little BMI here for a moment. So I like Googled BMI calculator, and I saw that I fell within the range that was eligible, and I was like, what? So I like looked up another BMI calculator, and I was like, okay, it says I am. And like within like 10 minutes, I was just on TurboVax, where you can like find available appointments just like on it for an hour straight until something opened up. And I found something that very same day. And so I just like ran to the train and got my first little vaccine.
I think that's so, I mean, it's, wow, talk about a roller coaster day. You find out that you are in the BMI that makes you approved, and then next thing you know, you're sprinting deep into Queens.
Yeah, and I, like, fill out all the paperwork online. I'm like, am I going to have to, like, prove that I am, what this weight is? And you, like, fill out these forms, and I was, like, I thought because I filled out the forms online that, like, says that I qualify for, like, whatever reason, that I would just, like, show that to them and it would be fine. And they didn't ask for proof, but they were like, okay, and what is your job? And what, how do you qualify? I was like, I have a pre-existing condition, or, like, whatever they call it. And he's like, and what is that? And I was like, according to the BMI, I am obese. And was the most embarrassing thing ever. And he, like, just, like, looked at, I felt like there was a silent judgment. But I went to, like, a FEMA site, so it was all, like, these, like, jacked military dudes, like, doing all of this, and I feel like he was just like, okay, sure.
I mean, look, we've said it once and we'll say it again, men are bad, and toxic masculine men are the worst of the worst. But I hope you didn't feel, I hope you don't feel shame around it. That's kind of what I want us to talk about, is like that this old sort of antiquated idea of obesity and, like, the BMI thing. It's like, I think that you are such a, you know, healthy person that, of course, everyone in quarantine has had roller coasters with their weight. And so I'm curious if you have any shame around this eligibility. And if someone were to ask you that, of course, in a way that felt respectful, would you feel shame around answering? Or do you just feel like a kind of a fact of the matter to you?
I would answer it if someone asked. Like, I would hope that no one would just ask a stranger. Like, I would think only my close friends would ask, and, you know, I probably would tell them, but it is embarrassing because, like, when you think of, like, quote unquote obesity, which is, like, a medical thing, I guess, I don't know. I it's very self-conscious to, like, say that because of your weight that you're at risk, or I don't know. It's embarrassing. I don't know.
I think what it sounds like is that there's, like, such a sizeism in the world in general, and so it feels like there's a judgment if you are of a certain size in any sort of range, that it feels like the world treats you or looks at you in a way that is unkind. And I feel like when I look at you, you are so confident and I think have such a strong sense of self and style and everything. And so I think that a person's size does not define them, but I do think that there is a judgment that some people in the world or some parts of society place on people because of their size. Meaning, if you are of this size, then you are, have less value, or that you know, it's just like when you hear about people going to clothing stores that don't carry their size. And there's some movie, there's a joke, it's like, why don't you try insert department store here? God, what movie is that? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm either going between, like, some of my favorite dumb movies, which is The Hot Chick, or is it Mean Girls when Rachel McAdams gains all that weight?
Oh, I think it is Mean Girls.
But there's, you know, that's like the bitchy sales associate that is judging you because if you're a bigger size. And I think we obviously can't unpack all of this in this little conversation on this podcast, but I just think it's just all very interesting what we're constantly being confronted with so many difficult things during this pandemic. And who would have thought that, you know, sizeism was going to be one of those things to have to combat while getting your vaccine?
And I don't think that I am self-conscious about it because I'm like, I feel like I am so my size, whatever. I feel more self-conscious about it because I think anyone looking at me would be like, he doesn't look like his BMI would be like whatever. And like, I know the way my body feels that I like have gained weight and am like a little uncomfortable in my skin right now. So mine is more the self-consciousness of people being like, he's not really in that like category, even though like technically my BMI, like I know BMI is bullshit and that, you know, I'm on like the very cusp of being eligible. So it's more of people like doubting that or thinking that, you know, who does he think that he is? Like, he doesn't look whatever way, like
It's very, there's so much pressure and self-consciousness around like doing the right thing. I mean, it even comes to like putting shit on your Instagram story. What was acceptable at the beginning of the pandemic? What is acceptable now? And also when we're both, I mean, I'm getting my second shot in like 3 weeks from now, and it'll be interesting once we're both vaccinated, A, how our lives change, how our behaviors change, but also like what we're putting on social media, what we are just doing in general. I think we're all in such unknown territory. And I think we're all figuring it out as we go, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so happy you got your vaccine, in any kind of eligibility, and that we're just like going to be able to sit inside a restaurant at some point in the future.
Maybe this year.
We have not. What was the last restaurant we sat inside of?
We sat inside the day, like the weekend before the city shut down, when I went on a bender for like 4 nights and partied.
That is true. Wow. Our anniversary of you getting blackout drunk 4 nights in a row. I'm kidding. You did not get blackout drunk.
Only 3 of the 4 nights.
Okay. Sorry. 75%. Well, look, I'm going to call a rehab facility, and thank you so much for, I'm kidding. Actually, this is your intervention.
Mom?
All of a sudden, the Zoom call, there's 12 people here.
Everyone's waiting in the waiting room.
Guys, come on in. Well, thanks for chatting with me, Matt. I truly appreciate you being open about something that there is a stigma about that I think is, you know, it's sometimes tough to talk about, but I think it's great that you did.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
I mean, Catherine Cohen, I need you to know that the anticipation with which I've been having for this episode to chat with you, I've been singing all this live long day. Boys never wanted to kiss me.
Do, 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 do. Well, likewise, I haven't seen you in 6 or 7 years.
I think it's been 7. Absolutely.
Okay,
7.
Wait. So I know I saw you. We were at, that was your apartment that we shot that sketch.
Yeah.
You and Esther. That was probably the last time, and that was what, like at least 4 or 3 years ago.
Was it really?
Oh my God. I don't know. It all blends together. So now you're fully a married man.
And you know what? And what's devastating is I'm fully married in the same apartment in which you shot this sketch. I have not.
But that was a really nice. It's like a very big. It's like a married apartment.
It is. And I have to tell you, Catherine Cohen, that my effing husband is like, I want to move. And I'm like, me too, but not to another apartment here. Like, I want to move to a gorgeous palatial palace in Los Angeles. Like, I don't want to move to
you
like.
You really want to move to LA?
I do. But it's been, I can't, it's not been like, I've been thinking about it for a couple of days. I've been thinking about it for 4 years. I'm just like.
Oh my God, you got to get out.
I think
so. What does your lover think?
He is now like getting close to being on the board of it of all.
Wow.
But I will say, like at first he was like, it's a no for me. But to be honest, I think it's partially like very weather related in terms of like the very dark winter cold does the things to my depression. And
I have been extremely depressed this month because it's the 1 year Annie of being locked inside our houses. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I'm not proud to say this, but daylight savings wasn't easy for me.
No. Look at me. I felt nothing but relief when the sun used to go down around 4. I was like, oh, thank God. It's done. And now I'm like, oh, fuck, I say to no one. I have to wait till 7? Are you jorking out? Are you jorking me?
I think that happened last night. I'm like, it's 7:30 p.m. I'm like, it's still light out. I guess I have to be, like, productive. It's a Sunday at 7 p.m. I'm feeling like a piece of shit because I, like, all I want to do.
Days are too long.
Days are too long. And, like, people love the sunlight. And yet I'm like, please shroud me in darkness so I can just, like, have an excuse to sit on a couch for longer.
Me too. What are you watching right now?
You know, I was just talking about, we did partake in the Art Heist documentary, Made You Look, and I was actually speaking with someone about
it. Oh, I started that.
We finished it only because I needed to hear about the Michael Hammer, Army Hammer thing. It's just like, the connection between...
Wait, what's the connection? I don't know this.
Okay, so as we, obviously, Army Hammer, we know, but his father was one of the owners of the art gallery that sold the $80 million of... of fake art. And so Michael Hammer, and then did you read, there's a Vanity Fair article the other day that came out about Armie Hammer and then by proxy his dad. Did you see this article?
No, I've been like kind of actually, I have to say, off the grid for the past 3 days.
Good for you. Well, it was like 40.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hold for applause.
So, yeah, this Vanity Fair article was like an hour read where they basically go into like, Armie Hammer's fucked up, but he's not alone. His family is too. And it's like the generations of Hammers that are bad going back to like dynasties and shit. It's bad. It's bad. But yeah, yeah. What have you been watching?
So crazy. Thank you for asking. I'm really proud to share with you that starting last year, March, cut to last year, March. It's me. I'm in March. I started watching the exquisite program Love Island UK. Don't say America. Don't get it twisted. Don't say Australia. UK. And there are, there are 5 or 6 available seasons. And I'm about to finish the very last one that I haven't seen. So my boyfriend, Brian, shout out, Brian. He's downstairs. Brian and I have now watched, I would say, over at least 200 episodes of Love Island, each an hour episode in the past year.
What does it do for you?
It's healing. It's medicinal. It's like acupuncture for the brain.
This is all I've been hearing, Kat. It's all I've been hearing. It's like Love Island this, Love Island that, UK, don't do America. Maybe put on subtitles. But it's like, what do you think? What do I need to do to just like, do I just like jump in?
Yeah, I would say jump in. I would say I would say start with season 3, but I also adore season 5 and I also love season 2 and 1. I mean, they're all good. But what I will say to you is the reason why is because we've been trapped in quarantine, as all the listeners know. And when the Love Island show is on, they're trapped in a villa. So there's like this, and they talk about things being on the outside world. So there's a sense of like, we're all like, they literally are my best friends right now.
Yeah. There's very much like sister, you're trapped. I'm trapped. You're in love. I'm in love.
Sister.
Ow.
I have my own style. That song is so good.
It is so good. And people don't give it enough credit because I would literally just watch that show to hear that intro music play on repeat. And do you remember when they rebooted it? There was like
when they have the phone call.
Yes.
With one of them's like twirling the phone line. I'm like, they look so gorgeous.
And there's like that the like vroom, little bass thing. Vroom.
How
siblings and synchronicity, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Sister. Never knew how much I miss. What are they up to now?
I think one of them's on TikTok, kind of just like on a journey. And then the woman that played her.
Are you on TikTok?
I am, and I have a fraught relationship with the talk. I think I went through a talk about like. I don't know what has made it onto what recording, because listener, there's been some tech issues at the beginning of this. However, on one of the recordings that we have done in this podcast episode, I did talk about beginner's luck, and a TikTok moment for me is I went into it when I was like very sad and unemployed and had nothing but time. And I just like was able to create some vids that did resonate with a share of people that did well. I did anger quite a population. I don't know if
you... About why? What was your video?
So listen, I'm minding my own, talking about the election at hand. And I happened to be in St. Louis, Missouri, the place in which I was born. And I noticed some Trump flags.
Oh, shout out.
A shout out to the Trump flags of Missouri. So what ended up happening is...
Absolutely.
I'm walking hand in hand with my husband, and I made a joke to him. I was like, you know, what if we are maybe bait the Trumpers in this neighborhood? So I make a video that is truly 6 seconds long, Kat. It is truly a 6 second video. I'm holding the camera. I'm holding Matt's hand, and I go, beat, 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 beat. Anyone got a problem? That's the video. It's a 6 second long. And then the caption was like, husbands walk through Trump neighborhood. I am not jerking. I put it up within a couple hours. I think it got to like, we're going to say a few thousand views. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess a few people are watching this, whatever. And then cut to that evening. It was like 10,000. I was like, okay, wow. And I start to read the comments, and they did not go in the direction that you thought they would. I got into Trump TikTok.
What was it?
It was comments that were like,
what were they
You're
saying?
You're a fucking idiot. Trump is the most pro-LGBT president we've ever had. Do you know that there's a gay person in his cabinet? And then it was like, It was so for a while, I was like, these are kind of silly. And I'm not joking. I started to read all the comments until it got to 100,000 views and then to 200,000 views. And at that point, I had had thousands of people telling me that I was a piece of shit. This is not for story purpose. I swear to God, it put me into like a hole of depression. And Matt was like, you need to stop reading these comments. And it was like, I had no control over my eyeballs. I kept reading them. So then I'm like, wait, maybe.
Oh my God. Well, I've been there.
Truly. And it's like, and I was like, maybe I am a piece of shit and maybe Trump is a good president. Like, that's how crazy I was starting to feel. I was like, was this video the wrong way to go? And then I finally, after 2 months, when I was daily getting hate from people, they were going to my Instagram. They were going into any other video I've posted commenting, anyone have a problem? Anyone got a problem? And so and people would, you know, on TikTok, you can duet video. So I had people with millions of followers duetting my video. And then this one person went to a Trump rally where it's like, I think it's a queer person went to a Trump rally and was like, do you have a problem? No. Went to someone else. Do you have a problem? And it was like, and that got like 2 million views. So at this point, my video had like, let's say 1 million views, but then other people's videos were getting millions of views of me saying how dumb I was. And I finally, a month later, deleted the entire video. And that is my story of my Trump TikTok. Thank you so much.
That's really, really crazy. Well, the internet loves to get angry. Everyone's mad. Everyone's crying. Everyone's upset. And you just got to pay it no mind and live in reality for one single second, if possible.
That's what I've been trying to.
That's so crazy. Fuck. Yeah, I'm not on it. I mean, I look at it sometimes because I like when someone tells me, like, you know, put olive oil on this or something. But I don't know. Beyond that, I'm like, I don't want to. I don't need more social media in my life. My goal is to get so successful that I don't have to be on any platform.
Oh yeah. That is the dream.
Untouchable. I know.
So what is the one platform you wish you could get rid of?
All of them. I would say,
we'll say it with you. We'll say it at the same time. One, two, three.
Twitter. Instagram. I actually think for me personally, Instagram makes me feel worse about myself somehow than Twitter does.
Wow. I'm so intrigued by this.
Well, because when I look at Twitter, everyone's like complaining or like shitting on stuff. And I'm just like, these people are so depressed and unhappy. Like, I can't look at this. But Instagram, everyone's like, look at me. Like, look how hot I am. Look at me thriving. Look at my, like, look how I keep like my beans in glass jars in my like gorgeous minimalist home. And I'm like, this makes me feel like so bad about myself. So, I mean, it's all toxic, but what can you do? Although I will obviously say people are generally kinder on Instagram than they are on Twitter.
That's interesting though, because I feel like you're saying, which I agree with, is that Twitter is more overtly miserable. We know it's toxic. Whereas Instagram has the allure of like, no, we're just showing you our beans in a jar. Do you like the lighting here? You're a piece of shit. It's like out of nowhere. It's like, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting to be told I don't deserve.
Who said that? Also, like Twitter is generally, I don't know if this is always true, but generally it's like strangers yelling at you or people. It's like, you know, people with no avatar pic who have like 15 followers being like, go fuck yourself, you stupid cunt. And I'm like, okay, sure. But like Instagram is more insidious. It's like, oh, I noticed that one of my dear friends never likes my photos. I mean, are they not happy for my relationship? You know, things like that.
Yeah. You start to read between the lines. Like, why isn't this person looking at my story? They haven't shared this video that all my other friends share. What does that mean about them?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. It's a beautiful world. Is that a beautiful day? That's the song. Beautiful day, but it's a beautiful world too. No offense. No offense to you too, but it's also a beautiful world.
No offense to the day. No offense to the day.
Oh my God. What day is it? Don't tell me. March 15th. Love it.
My brother's birthday is in 5 days. How do you feel about that?
Let's fucking go.
Wait, and also
let's
go for my half birthday too in 6 days.
Let's fucking go. That is fucking electric. You know, I'm actually currently, stay with me, in the Hamptons. Because we came to borrow a family friend's house for my brother's birthday, which was on Friday.
Okay, what do we feel about the Hamptons?
It's j'adore. It's divine. Here's what I'll say. I used to think it was really overrated and stupid. First of all, it goes without saying I only like it in winter. In the summer, it's too crowded. It's hell. There's one street. But what's beautiful, when I was on, I did mushrooms on the beach on Friday, and what clicked for me about the beach on Friday on mushrooms was that the appeal of the Hamptons is that there are no like shitty, tacky, like, hotels lining the beach. It's just, like, dunes, which is very dramatic and gorgeous and ethereal. So that's, like, the appeal. But I'll take, like, upstate woodsy vibes any day.
Yes. I mean, both are dreamlike to me. I think when you talk about being famous enough to not have social media, I want to be famous enough to, like, be able to drive to my cabin house and my Hamptons house and, like, be a place where there is not the lining of hotels. I think I want the solo beach, the solo forest.
I couldn't agree more. It's heaven.
I do want to go back to the fact that you did mushrooms on the beach. I want to discuss
Thank you for noticing that.
It begs many questions. A, positive experience or neg? What was?
Always positive. So I tried them for the first time this summer. I did a cross-country road trip with my boyf and we went to Joshua Tree. And a friend of ours had these like mushroom chocolates that are very, like very well dosed out. So like, you know what you're getting. I could never do like a baggie of like dirt. I don't get that. I'm scared of that. I love like corporations. I love labels. I love rules. So, and that's why I'm chill and doing mushrooms. So I've only taken this one particular brand of mushroom. And so I know what to expect so I can be like relaxed.
I have to say that I've only done the mushroom one time and it was in Joshua Tree.
Oh, heaven.
And it was a bag of dirt, Catherine Cohen. It was a bag of dirt.
Yeah.
And I have to...
Did you like it?
You know what? The answer is complicated. I'm going to say parts of it I did. Ooh, were there parts that were fun? I would say circumstantially, you know, we're talking about how we were at my apartment a few years ago doing that sketch with Esther. Esther is a queen and like loves the mushrooms. So
how is she? So is she living in LA now?
She is in New York, but going to be heading back to LA soon.
I adore seeing her gorgeous son.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
she's
a stun. That baby, Moses, is unbelievable. I mean, I got to see him not that long ago. And, like, I have to tell you, he is a magical being. And he, at one point, we just had, you know what? Everyone's like, the baby's cute. And the baby, this baby and I, like, had this crazy
connection.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we were just, when he was sitting, he started to just like lean over and kiss me on the cheek. And this baby's like 9 months
that's
old.
That's so cute.
And Esther was like, it was just like a crazy, and of course, I'm making this baby about me. However, Esther and Noah are like such good parents to him, and he's such a good laugher, and he's also gigantic. But I bring this up because Esther was like my leader, my gateway person with the mushroom experience. And we were in LA working on a short film that we were trying to brainstorm ideas for how this movie could end. And so we decided, because the movie did center around a mushroom trip, we should, you know, go into it ourselves. And so I will say Esther was amazing about procuring them, about driving us to Joshua Tree. And I'm so grateful to her. What I'm not grateful for.
Here we go.
Was the aftermath was that we planned on driving back to LA that very same day. And so...
Oh, no, no, no. No.
And I didn't know what happens to you physically, emotionally. And so the long story short is that the sun is setting and we're clearly still deep within the trip.
Yeah.
And so the laughter turned into like, maybe like, Esther, I think we maybe need to maybe get out of here. And she was like, kept wanting to stay. And finally, it's like starting to get dark. And so I'm sober enough to drive us. And then I was like, I hadn't eaten all day. She told me to have an empty stomach. So it was a stronger.
Oh my God, that's nuts. The one time I did on an empty stomach, I felt horrible.
Kat, started to feel sick within hours of like drive. Like driving back, my throat started to hurt and I hadn't eaten all day. So I was like, I just need to get food. Well, Esther goes, okay, well then let's go to, there's this restaurant I would love to go to. It's on the way. I'm like, wherever you need it to be, we're going there. She takes us to Palm Springs.
Oh my God.
I get to this restaurant and then we eat and then I turn, it's like kind of on the way, but not exactly. And so then we have another 2-hour drive back to LA and I was sick for 8 days after that.
No. Are you serious?
Like flu-like symptoms. It was like...
Holy shit. That sounds horrible.
It was, but the actual trip was like so magical. Like Joshua Tree was, as you know, gorgeous, but...
I mean, it's... I always thought, I was like, what's the appeal? And then when I went there, I was like, oh my God, I get it.
I've never seen anything like it. And like, I mean, obviously, I've talked about this before in this podcast, but Ingrid Goes West, like, when, like they...
I love that movie.
So good. And like the Joshua Tree connection. And like, do I want to live in Joshua Tree? I think it's a no.
No, absolutely not.
It's like, I need more than like a main street in a home goods store. But like, I would definitely do mushrooms there again for within a week long Airbnb. You know, like that to me sounds great.
Totally.
So when you were on the beach, was it like you were just enjoying the surroundings? And
yeah, I would say I've never taken enough that I like see anything. I just feel like a general sense of like happiness and emotion. So this time, yeah, it was me and Bri, my wife, and then my brother and his GF. And we like laid out, it was like winter beach. We laid out these blankets in the sand and we just like looked at the sky. Then I got home and I started like sobbing, but like happy sobbing. Mm-hmm. And I pictured me and my beloved like being surrounded by vines and like just like with everyone we love and being like, I just want to like care for people and like be in a house. And like, it was very, it's always very emotional. It's very nice to like stare into your lover's eyes while you do it. You and Matt should do it.
I actually think that's a really good idea. And especially with these chocolates that you discussed sound.
We'll talk about it.
Please.
Yeah.
Please. Cause you know what, like looking into Matt's eyes and just like, and weeping happy tears sounds like an experience I would absolutely love to have.
How long have y'all been together now?
We've been together for 7.5.
That's amazing.
Months. No, yeah, a little more than 7 years.
Oh my God.
I actually was going through.
What's the secret?
I asked the same question to Jay Jordan and he was like, I don't give advice. But I think that
that's funny.
I think that the only secret I have is that you gotta know the ebbs and flows. You gotta know the ebbs and flows because they're, I thought there was going to be a song coming out of me and it kind of just plateaued.
It's okay. The ebbs and flows, you're meaning like there are phases and you have to just ride them out.
You do. And like, you got to know that, especially like looking in the eyes of your person and being like, this is what we're going through right now. And I'm frustrated by this or I'm thrilled with this. It's like, but like the momentariness of it all, how is it going with Bri? Like how long, you guys been together for a while now too.
Love of my life. Can't believe I found him. Love of my life. It's heaven on earth. I mean, no, I feel that like, I definitely feel ebbs and flows in terms of like, horniness is a big one. And then also like in terms of like who's depressed or who's anxious and like switching off. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's the thing is a lot of people don't think about like how one person is maybe feeling elated in one moment. You know what? I haven't verbalized this ever. And I don't even think I've said this to Matt. So like hot off the presses.
Oh.
But the thing with me and Matt that is so interesting is that when he used to be like in a really good mood and then the mood would shift and I was not prepared for the mood shift. He was all of a sudden cranky or frustrated or whatever it is, usually fueled by hunger. But when I
almost always has to do with hunger,
truly. But like I used to internalize that and be like, oh, so I'm bad or we are in a bad place or like it's my fault. And then it took me, no joke, probably 4 or 5 years to be like, oh, wait a minute. Moods are normal. Moods are normal. And so if he's not happy right now, it's probably not my fault. And if it is, I can ask the question. So of course I'm like I need validation more than I need water.
Exactly. Oh, same. Is that your love language? Words of affirmation?
100%. It's words of affirmation. I think mixed with a human touch moment. Like even in quarantine, if I'm on the couch with him, I can probably sit without my head on his shoulder for about 4 to 4 or 5 minutes. And then I'm like, I'm going to need to be attached.
So cute. I feel the same way. I'm like, last night we were like watching TV and I was like, can you just like touch some part of me? And he was like, sure. I was like, just like, can you rub like my head or my arm? Like just pick one and just like rub. Kind of, I need to be rubbed and I need to be loved right now.
Well, which one did you want? Head or arm? Which one did you want?
Well, you know what I really love? I love like a hand like between the eyebrows, like a gentle rub.
A third eye massage.
Yeah, third eye massage. Cause I have my like, my wrinkle of intelligence and curiosity there. And so I like to have it kind of massaged so I can continue to be intelligent and curious and the like. Well, you know, are we allowed to talk about our friend's news?
I don't, you know what? My honest answer is I don't know.
Okay, we won't. But what I will say about our mutual friend Is that how I met you?
It truly is. And you know what?
Is he well? I miss him.
He is so well. And I mean, so much love for this mutual friend. But also, like, can you imagine, like, the time in which we met? Like, it was how many years ago?
No, it was, so we must have been, I was 18.
Oh,
so for listeners out there, Yeah, I was 18 when I met our mutual friend. And I was with him. We were like sort of dating when I turned 19. So then I met you when I came to visit in New York. And I was like on your couch. I've actually never seen a smaller apartment. And I say that with love. I've never seen a smaller apartment. And I got there. I sat on like a black IKEA couch. And I'd never like been, I didn't live in New York. I was in college. So I was like, I thought it was so cool that I was visiting like my cool like New York friends. Oh, and like you guys were NYU. God. I was like my cool NYU friends. And we went to some party with like lots of very nice girls. And everyone was sitting on small IKEA couches. And I was like, this is living.
Listen, listener, if you don't know about these IKEA couches, they are like, they said it was a two-seater, it's a one and a half mm-hmm. at best. And then
I think all three of us sat there, and like there was only room for like one chair in the apartment.
Yep,
it was amazing.
That apartment was, I mean, do you know
was it in Soho?
It was in Soho, but you need to know it was a piece of shit on the sixth floor walk up. And
oh my God.
And I don't know if you know this story, but that apartment, it was my first, like, I was, you know, out of the dorms. I found it myself because this mutual friend was out of town with you for the summer.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is my dad helped me move some shit in. He leaves town. This is the first night I'm in this apartment. I go to a friend's karaoke party. I swear to God, as I am singing a very bad rendition of Ashley Simpson.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
My apartment was being robbed. Literally as I'm singing, I'm sure of this.
Pieces of me. I'm obsessed with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I'm literally.
You just got me so nostalgic for like the idea of being in New York, like in early September, and like it's hot and you're going out.
You're in a disgusting bar singing at your friend's, you know, 20th birthday
party. We'll do that again. We'll get back there.
We will. I will not sing Ashley Simpson again. In my register, it does not work.
You have the most beautiful voice. What do you like to sing?
You know what? I mean, what do I like to sing is like, God, it's like, give me a Spring Awakening OBC.
Give me that thing called love.
I want it. I mean,
I had a self tape recently that was like, can you also include like 16 bars of musical theater? And I was like,
you're
joking.
I was like,
how on God's green earth?
Wait, what did you say? What 16 bars did you give?
I can't discuss it.
You know what? I don't want you to, but
just know that it's too painful to, and I regret bringing it up. But it's always a curveball where you're like, oh, good, I'm done with the tape. And then they're like, actually, can you do something random, like sing for us?
That is a devastating blow after you're like, oh, thank God that's done. Oh, wait, you want to hear from the deepest part of my childhood? Sure. Well, let me just tell you that what ended up happening is I leave this karaoke party filled with regret. And then I walk up the six floors of this apartment building, and I don't know if I have a sixth sense or if maybe I am kind of on a medium level, but I knew that my door was unlocked. I don't know why.
That's scary as fuck.
It is scary because I was like, I'm actually going to not put my key in here. And I turned the handle. This is becoming a.
Did you leave it unlocked or had they broken in?
This is what I thought. I opened the door and I'm like, I'm such a fucking idiot. I left my apartment door unlocked. This is my first New York apartment. God, I can't even learn how to lock a door. I walk to my bedroom, which was, of course, three steps away because the apartment was so small. And then I look at my bed. I was like, damn. Damn it, I'm so messy. My shit was everywhere. I was like, God, why did I dump my stuff out on this bed? And then I was like, you know what? Oh damn it. I can't find my backpack. I'm so clumsy. I can't even remember where I put my... Of course, what had happened is that the robber had broken into my apartment building somehow, dumped my satchel, my, you know, what do you call this?
Messenger bag?
My messenger bag had been
dumped.
My
very 2009 or what year was it? 2010.
Very. 11. And it was khaki, of course. There's no other choice.
Of course.
All my stuff is all over the bed because they were trying to find my iPod Touch, which they found. And then, so the iPod Touch was taken. And then the
iPod Touch. So I'm like, wait, what is that? Is that like an iPhone, but it's not a phone?
It was, but for the music was on your phone. It was the iPod, but it looked like an iPhone, but it only had music. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes perfect sense to me to hear that.
So I ended up having that stolen, then my entire backpack with which I had all of my stuff, because I moved that day. I had my passport, my laptop, a digital camera, of course. And so I call the police and they come over and they realize that someone had somehow gotten into the front of the apartment building, went up to the roof, and then broken into the window from the fire escape.
Oh my God. How did they know that you were new?
They must
that
have
you were NYU students new to New York.
They must have seen me moving in or something, and I went to my friend's apartment, took a Xanax, and just went.
Oh,
to
poor
sleep.
Baby!
I was beyond. And then, of course, our mutual friend comes to move in with his very neurotic Jewish parents, and I was like, "So, final story, we were robbed."
Oh no, no! That is so crazy.
I know.
Oh my God, what a time.
It was a time, but then of course I got to meet you and then all was right in the world.
I know. Thank God. So that was literally like, that's so sad. That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. So how do you feel like?
I'm 100 years old.
We are, I mean, I'm 100. The fact that you were 18 or 19 when I met you, I think this is news to me. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, because I just finished my first year of college and then I went to Williamstown.
So how do you feel like you're different now versus then?
Oh my God. What an amazing question. Okay, I'm trying not to be negative because I want to be like, I'm worse. No, I'm much better. I had no idea what I wanted to do or who I was. So now I almost am beginning to know that.
That's a really...
I never thought I would be a comedian.
And you know what? I think that's so effing beautiful because it's like, first of all, the fact that we have to check ourselves to be positive. Don't say something mean about yourself.
Well, because my first thought is like, I'm not as thin. And then I'm like, okay, maybe that doesn't matter. But it's like the first thing in my brain. I'm like, remember how I used to be a size 6?
Don't you feel like what we're constantly doing is trying to like look at the wiring in our brain and be like, remember that wiring is not serving us. Move the wires.
I know, the wires.
You're constantly trying to just like, remember that wire change. But it's true. It's like there are great things about getting older and realizing more of our purpose. And like you, mm-hmm. I mean, are doing so many amazing things. And like while there are parts of our youth that we do miss, it's like, thank God we're not that young and clueless anymore.
Oh my God. Also, I was a virgin when you met me.
Wow.
Sexy. Doing everything but in your tiny apartment.
And we literally shared a wall. I mean, I'm sure I could probably...
So hot. Yeah, because I was like... Because since I grew up like going to like youth group and stuff, I was still shedding my like religious upbringing for like the first two... I would say the first like 2 years of college it took to get it all out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many things at the beginning of college that you need to like cycle through. Like also just like pining for people that are not right for you. Like, I actually... At that time that I met you in this tiny apartment, I was having a giant crush on a manager of mine at Shake Shack.
Oh my God. You know, that's the one place left for artists in this town.
You know what? They say the Greenwich Village is over, but at least Shake Shack is there.
Wait, you worked at Shake Shack? Tell me everything about that.
Yeah, you need to know that I opened the Times Square store. If you want a talkback session, if you want an autograph...
Oh my God, I'm serious. Like, Shake Shack is such a special place to me. I had no idea you worked there.
It was my first job in New York City, and it was a summer between college, and I was applying all over the place, not getting hired. I was like the cafeteria. I was like applying to be a server at these restaurants mm-hmm. that would not want to see me, you know.
Oh my God, you'd fit right in now, please.
Well, what ended up happening is I get hired at Shake Shack for their new Times Square Theater District store. And so
yes.
I went through like
steps from Broadway,
8th Avenue, 44th Street.
If you think that's where I always go before a Broadway show.
So I was working at first, no joke, making the hot dogs on the hot dog line. If you want to,
I love the Shack
Chicago dog. They've got those little pickles in there. They've got the cucumber.
I love those. Oh, they're so good. Those little pickles, those little spicy peppers.
Yes. And it really is an art putting that together. I'm going to spend the next hour talking about the Chicago dog, if that's okay.
No, I would talk about that for years with you. It's so delicious. I love them. There's like a mustard moment. Yes. Like, it's really well done.
There's a little relish for your nerves. Absolutely. So what ended up happening is I got promoted to cash register. And yes. if for our listeners who don't know that Times Square doesn't really attract solely New Yorkers. In fact, I would be working and this is a celebration of all of the tourists that go to New York City. I got to meet and serve people from all over the world and then close at 2 a.m. And then I would take from the $11 I made, take a taxi cab back home because I was like, I don't want to take the subway at 3 a.m. back wherever I was going. And so
Oh, that's exhausting. It's literally never not completely packed in there.
Always packed. And, but the magic of the story is that my manager was this really cute, really cute guy who I did not know if he was gay or not. But one day I was working the line outside, you know, passing out menus, minding my own, and his friends show up and he said hi to his friends. The manager goes back into the Shake Shack and then I say, so what's his old deal?
Yes, I love that.
And they were like, well, he is single. I was like, oh, so he is into guys. And they were like, uh-huh. Like, I guess they were like, for whatever reason, encouraging this Shake Shack employee to go for his manager. So I end up, right before I'm about to finish at Shake Shack to go back to school, I end up inviting him to a show I was in. And the New York Fringe Festival. And
go off.
Brag. And he ends up coming 5 minutes late. And then they close the house and he never sees the show. But then after it, he was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's all good. He's like, well, if you want to come over to my apartment to celebrate, we can. And I was like, oh, fuck, should I? Like, I don't know. Like, this is my manager. And so we end up going, you know, I don't know if you feel this, but if you're on a rooftop in New York City and you have the opportunity to kiss, it is one of the most mad.
You have to
take it. And we made out on this rooftop of his building and it was magical. I was
What part of town?
It was, I believe, like before 10th Avenue was 10th Avenue. It was like
Hell's Kitchen.
I think it was Hell's Kitchen.
That sounds gorgeous.
And then I ended up sleeping over, Kat.
I bet you did. And then what happened? Did you guys ever see each other again?
So then for this memory, going back to this tiny apartment that you would, you know, be sopping wet in.
That would be fingered in. Nothing more, nothing less.
I would get calls from him while he was still working at Shake Shack at 4 a.m.
And being like, can I come over?
Well, just to talk. And I was so into him and I would take the call. And then for like 4 years, I never saw him. And then cut to, he got married and I saw him and his husband in an airport. And that was like the first time. And it was, now we're like friends. Like, he's like so cool. And like,
that's amazing.
Now we're just a bunch of old married gay guys.
Wait, that's so sweet. And then how did you meet Matt? I forget.
We met
online.
I love the assumption. We met.
Okay. First of all, that's like the most common thing right now.
I know. So I don't know why I'm down to me taking umbrage.
Yeah. What a great word.
We met.
Umbrage vibes.
Let's make merch. Umbrage vibes but it's a crew neck sweatshirt.
For sure.
We met IRL. In talking about musical theater in an audition line for Fiddler on the Roof, Nanak.
Wow. And then how did it become the love of your life? Or when did you know it was?
I think, you know what's so funny is like these poor listeners who've had to hear me talk about this so many times, but like honestly.
Okay, we don't have to talk. We can talk with me.
No, I mean, I think that they're just lucky to hear it.
They are.
You know what ended up happening is that I was fully infatuated like immediately. And then
what's your sign?
Virgo, but like I'm on the cusp of Libra. And so I've been really thinking about this lately because I used to think I'm not super Virgo, but I am. I am. I just like, if like plans change last minute, it's hard for me.
Yeah, I have Virgo moon.
Right. So
where
does the Virgo-ness live in you?
It's well, honestly, I have Virgo in like everything except for my sun and rising.
So what are your characteristics that you think are really like, what?
Well, I'm completely psycho, incredibly mean to myself, incredibly hard on myself. Nothing's ever enough. Success is inevitable and yet impossible. So yeah, I guess that's kind of where it lives. Umbridge vibes.
Oh my God, the emotional release you just gave me, I have to say that you just like spoke such truth to power. Yeah. It's like, why are we so mean to ourselves and hard on ourselves? And also, to be very fair and frank, I'm hard on others. I don't wish I was, but I'm a critical bitch.
Yeah, I think I'm way nicer to others.
Well, that's the thing is like, I'm so hard on myself, but the people that I love the most, like I think sometimes I can be like expecting, because I'm so mean to myself, and I'm like, well, if you are not giving me the 110,000% I think that you should be giving in this moment, like I'm gonna feel critical of that. And then the person's like, but I just gave you 95%, and I have to be like, oh yeah, that's good.
I know, but it's never enough.
No, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, but beyond that, I know. I don't know. How do you be nice to yourself? Just remember the wires.
I think that's it. I think it's just like wire, 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 wire. Oh, that wire. And I in therapy right now, it's all just like, look at these wires, babe. Oof. It's a lot of wires. And there's...
Who needs all those wires?
Who needs all of those? But like, ooh, you see those wires are sparking? Let's kind of mend those together and then redirect the other wires that are telling you to be so mean to yourself.
I know.
Because I think like what's happening right now a lot is... this idea of like productivity equals value. And I don't like that.
I mean, that it's life ruining. I've been better about releasing that, because sometimes I see people online and it's like, oh my God, just people who are constantly making so much stuff all the time. And I used to feel bad about it. And now I'm like, okay, it's just like, that doesn't interest me or make me happy. So.
And that's the thing is like, what actually do you want to spend time doing? Because that's all that actually matters.
I know. I don't know what I like spending time doing. Watching Love Island, I guess. I like cooking, watching Love Island. I really like performing live. So hopefully this summer, maybe we'll do some of that.
Absolutely.
Hard to say.
I also have to say, because you're talking about cooking and we talked about TikTok, do you follow Jake Cohen?
No, who's that?
I don't know if he's a cousin of yours, but hopefully he is. He is this incredible Jewish baker. He came out with a book called Jewish, and on TikTok he has these...
Is it an Instagram? Oh, a TikTok follow.
So he's...
Jake, you said?
Jake Cohen. I would say Instagram and TikTok. He is like, he's this married gay guy who is so not only just cute, but amazing with his recipes. And
I can't wait.
Yeah, you need to get in on it. It's like his book Jewish just came out.
I'm Googling him right now.
Matt just got this book that it like made my heart sing, because Matt is this like Catholic Southern boy that has learned to make hamantaschen and challah and like,
yes. Oh, these look great.
Yeah, he is a good follow.
I mean, a black and white cookie is all I need in life. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that on his feed right now is what's happening.
Do you? So I know that you grew up, one of your parents is Jewish and one of them is not Jewish, correct?
Exactly. My dad, Cohen, is Jewish.
So what is your...
And my mom is Catholic.
So this is amazing, because I am in a Catholic Jewish marriage now. So what is your...
Well, it worked out really well for my parents, and it worked out well for me because I'm incredible and without flaw.
What is your relation to Judaism? Is that a loaded question? Are you okay?
No, not at all. No, nothing really bothers me except for my own thoughts. But no, it's not a loaded question. I think being Jewish is, first of all, the sexiest thing you can be. I think it's extremely horny and smart and amazing. My boyfriend's Jewish. I want us to have hot Jewish kids. I want to do... It seems more like fun to be Jewish. Like being Christian is all about just like stuff you can't do. I feel like Jewish people are a little more relaxed about like, okay, like you can do that. It's okay. Like... You know, just be nice to your family is kind of what I get from Judaism. But I don't really know a lot about it, if I'm honest.
That's brilliant, though, because I think the best part of it is just like, yeah, like eat some good food, be with your family a little too much. Like, I feel like what's so wrong with that?
That's my dream, is to eat too much and be with my family too much.
Right. And also, like, I'm not religious in the least, but it's truly all about the food traditions. And like, I like what? So once a year I can make like a triangle shaped pastry with a gorgeous fig filling. I'm going to do that. Wait, you're telling me I can have my family and friends over to have a Passover Seder with a matzo ball soup? I'm going to do that. You're telling me I can put candles on a gorgeous brass fixture in December every year and light 9 candles. I'm going to do that.
Of course. So wait, are you and Matt going to have kids?
We are. We are. What if I was like,
oh my God,
we're actually due in 3 months. No, I'm not. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. When do you think you want that?
I think I want that in like ideal.
In LA.
What if I answer that?
I want that when I...
So when do you want that? Well, in LA. I think I... Dream scenario is like... I'm literally looking at a calendar right now. I think dream scenario...
Oh, that's so crazy.
I think dream scenario is like 4 years from now.
Oh, that's nice. What year is it now? Don't remind me. Wait, 2020. Okay, cool. Wait, I know. Do you know that in 4 years, I'll be 33? So by then I have to kind of know. So maybe in 4 years I'll do it too.
I think we should raise our children together. I think we'll have these like gorgeous Jewish children.
I would love that, but I don't want to be in LA.
That's okay. I'm going to be bi-coastal.
Oh, obsessed. Yeah. Oh my God. So does Esther miss New York or is she like LA forever now? I love seeing her. She's so gorge with her baby. It's so fun to see online.
So gorge. You know what? I always have respect for her because she just like, she lives where she lives. Do you know what I mean? It's like when she's like, I've always been here. And it's like, but you moved 3 months ago. No, I didn't. Okay. It's like, I think that she's so present that she's just like, yeah, this is where I am forever. But then that forever can last about 6 months and you just don't know.
Oh my God. Wait, how should I be like more present?
Umbridge.
Umbridge vibes. obsessed. Okay, and also not to be so dramatic, but at 2:30 I have to go because we're actually doing a Seek treatment recording.
We love a hard out. Ugh.
I know.
I was listening to...
Are you mad?
I'm not mad at all. I was listening to Michelle Collins' podcast not that long ago, and she...
Funniest woman alive.
Truly, and she was talking to Danny Pellegrino, and he had a hard out, and she was like, I always love to ask, what is your hard out? So is this an episode with you and Pat, or is there a guest?
It's actually less exciting than that. We have to record some ads.
Wow. Just
gotta make that money, baby.
Look at us talking shop, us podcasters.
Talking podcast culture. Otherwise, usually if I don't remember a hard out, I'll just talk for like 3 hours. And I'm like, okay, the sun is setting. I did it. I got through another day of my life.
Well, let me see. Yes! Let me see a quick question.
Okay.
So why do you think gay people love you so much?
Oh my God. Well, I love gay people so much. It's such an amazing question because whenever I like, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say whenever I meet like my friend had like a younger brother who's like, maybe like in some man, how old is he? He's like in middle school and like, he really likes me. And so I'm like, oh, now we know he's gay. You know what I mean? Like that's a way in. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm randomly straight, although I do have a shred of bi in me, as we say on the podcast. Like I love lesbian porn. I would totally do group with women, but I'm always like falling in love with these men. So I am ultimately straight. I don't know why they love me, but I love them. And that's where I feel most at home, like at Club Coming and other gay friendly spaces. That's where I really come alive.
Isn't that funny? There are just certain people that move through this earth and just gay people are just like that one. Like they just like,
why do you think? As a gay person.
What, let me answer why I love you. I mean, I think...
Why do you... Hey, yeah, that's what I want to say. Why do you love me,
that's like,
you
that's,
gay person?
That's, I love to, like, speak for the group. I mean, yeah. I think there is something about, like, the question is, why do I love you? Because there are so many... Here's why I think it is. You emanate an energy that is, like, gravitating towards the weird and the different and then the acceptance of it. And so it's like, you know, when you're growing up and you're just like, I don't want to be different and I hate being different. And then when there's a person that's just like, hey, bitch, you're different. And I'm just obsessed. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This girl's not only obsessed, but look at her eyeliner. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's on top of that, you have the gorgeousness. You have the, I mean, a singing voice. I think any queer person.
Thank you. You're making my day right now.
I hope so. Let me tell you that.
That's very sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. I I'm not just buttering your biscuit because you're on this pod. I just like, every time I get to be around you and talk to you, it's just like, it's such a beautiful gift. And you're just like, so you've got magic that I'm just grateful to be a part of in some small way.
Well, right back at you. I adore you. And from the second I met you when I was 18, when I was barely legal, I knew I'd love it. I knew I'd love to be your friend.
It's very pornographic thinking about this cherubic 18-year-old Catherine Cohen just like getting finger banged in my tiny Soho apartment.
Absolutely. That's life. That's life for you.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And
thank you so much. I'm honored. It was so fun talking to you. I hope to see you in the near future. And send Matt my love.
I definitely will. And you're the best.
The gays love Catherine. And Catherine loves the gays. Oh, it's just such a treat being able to talk with her. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, do me a big favor and give us a 5-star review with a little love note in there. It really makes a difference for this podcast to reach more ears. And subscribe if you have not. I want to thank Matt for joining. I want to thank Kat Cohen for joining. It's truly such a treat to be able to do this. And I'm just excited for the future, everyone. Spring has sprung. Get your vaccine if you can. And I really am so excited to make out and be disgusting with you all. See you soon, my friends.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.